Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this week's episode of Game Cabinet. This week, we're reaching in and pulling out Warhammer. GW in general, more like it. This week, we've got our lovely Robert from the shop with us here.
Lovely. To talk.
I think you're lovely. You might be snarky, but I enjoy you. We've got the George.
Oh, hi.
And we've got all the panels with all the beep boops. Hannah.
Beep boop, beep boop. Doing my best.
This week, we're talking about, well, like I said, GW. We have minorly touched on Warhammer, Age of Sigmar, all of that a couple of times. But I think it's time to actually like stop and talk about them and give them their episode. I brought Robert on because he is a little more pro GW, and by that he's been with them long enough.
Not necessarily been with them, just more versed.
Yeah, versed with them and a little more used to the deal with it mentality that they force us to take, and has helped me deal with it as I've been trying to come into the hobby.
For those of our regular listeners that were listening, when one of our last episodes, we ended up complaining quite a bit, and I feel like we wanted to have you on just in general so we could kind of like clear the air and like maybe give them credit where credit's due before just totally being...
Oh, I mean, I'm going to be pretty neutral about it because they have their good and bad points.
Sure.
I mean, I have not dealt with them only with buying for the store downstairs, and I mean... There's no real opinion for me, so I'm kind of the neutral opinion about this.
See, I think, but we need that.
Right.
All of our opinions fall on that, they're okay, but no side of that category.
Right.
Yeah, when we talked about the wargaming stuff, when we talked about God tier and all of that kind of stuff, and we were just like, ugh. And then Games Workshop. And then Games Workshop with all of their expensive miniatures.
Yeah, and that's my primary like complaint to the game is just, cost-wise, it's getting minis for other war type games like that and then ending up with twice the amount of plastic or so, and then their point count and stuff like that is what really kind of drives pushes me away, even though I really like their game, like how they have it set up, the way it plays and things like that is really interesting and really neat to me.
And they definitely have some of the nicest models on the market. Like, it's not like they don't have quality behind, you know, their higher price tags, but...
Oh, yeah. I mean, they've been around long enough to improve on their own plastic. Their models are usually the best mass-produced.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like you said, there's the whole cost thing. But, I mean, it kind of goes along with the whole, sadly enough, inflation. It goes up in price every year.
Yeah.
Along with everything else. It just seems more apparent only because a lot of people knows how much it cost last time.
Yeah.
And then when they raise the price, everybody's all up in arms.
Yeah.
As opposed to like when you're playing one game system and they use the same models for years and years, and then when they make their change to new models, it's not as frequent and as apparent.
You don't see that hype jump right off the bat. You're like, oh, I bought that model 4 or 5 years ago, and now I'm getting my new one.
Like, I bought my Space Marines 10 years ago, and they were $20 a box, and now they're like $70 a box.
Exactly.
That's what it's starting to feel like, almost. I was just talking with a couple of different people about it, was that I'm also... when it comes down to the lore and stuff, which is what you and I, what we were just talking about being kind of the main draw for Warhammer is their lore and their Black Library series, I guess would be the other part. Well, I'm a Xeno fan. I don't want to spend $400. I want to spend my $160 on like I can on my Space Marines to at least get my small army going.
Right. I mean, I am a fan of Space Marines, particularly the Black Templars, only because, well, they're cool black armor and you know. And tunics, and
it's pretty sweet.
Yeah,
they're Templars.
I forget that they have the tunics on them.
Yeah,
like until I like look at the model every time, and I'm like, oh, you guys do have tunics and tapestries. Ah, that is so much better. That's what made me want to play the Sisters of Battle too, which the amount of like kind of more clothy and paper like textures that they were going for, and like movement. Oh, their movement is always really ace on their models though.
Playing Xenos, there are Chaos, they have their pros. They have a more variety as opposed to the militaristic look of, you know, the Marines.
Yeah.
I especially like Slaanesh, if you want to go.
Oh, Slaanesh.
I'm a Drakari fan. Yeah. I want to play some Drakari.
Space elves. Space dark elves.
Space dark elves. When I started getting into Warhammer, my cousin Kyle, he was like, I just finally turned to him and was like, who does everyone hate? Like, who does, like, 90% of the player bases all agree is just the worst army to, like, read about and stuff like that? And he's like, most people hate the Drakari. Like, they're just a weird enough, crazy enough society. And I started reading on them and I was like, and this is who I'm playing. This sounds great.
Also, their name is kind of your name, too.
Yeah, which made me laugh. Like, going through and when we did the kill team
campaign.
Yes, thank you. When we did that, I named myself the Drukhari, which was delightful.
Which are the ones that had the really cool, like, spectral carriage with all the ghosty bits?
That is the Age of Sigmar one, but it is the Night Haunts, of which I also have a decent chunk of those guys.
I know literally nothing about Warhammer beyond, like, having to order it when I was doing the games department. And I was just like, I just relied on the Warhammer community that comes to our store to be like, what do you guys want? What do you guys want? What do you want me to bring in? What's it? And then our Games Workshop rep, I'd be like, what do I need to order?
What is hot? What do buy?
Please tell me, because I am purely aesthetics. So I see spooky ghosts and I'm like, order 18 of those things.
Well, I mean, that's kind of the beauty of Games Workshop is you don't even have to play the game. I mean, you can just build and paint models and it'll just look pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's one of the weird things to me is that they're for smaller, like multiple unit prices is always harsh. But then you'll get like the spectral carriage where it's what, 80 bucks?
Yeah.
And it's pretty much worth it. Like it's a big enough bit. Like it feels solid and good when you pay that price. It doesn't hurt too much. So it's this, I find that to be a weird ebb and flow.
It's a weird balance. I mean, they kind of want you to get the big box edition where they have multiple models for, you know, one box cheaper or one small box cheaper.
Yeah.
You know, get that extra 10 units when you buy all these. You know?
Yeah, buy all of this and you get that extra little something for you.
I'd love to just buy paint and then resell Games Workshop stuff.
There you go. I know a couple guys that's primarily what they do is they just buy one of the new models that comes out, get it painted up into a standard like paint style, and then offer to sell it out on.
See, I'd be buying this big stuff like the Nighthaunt carriage and just selling it as showpieces. Like you want this in your game? Trust me.
There you go.
$400.
But then again, also too, I mean, you have various levels of Warhammer and even Games Workshop. You have all the different properties, like they have the Lord of the Rings, they have Age of Sigmar, 40K.
I still want Necromunda. That Balrog.
Yeah. And a lot of times, like even for just the Lord of the Rings, just getting the individual characters for use in other games.
Yeah. Well, that brings me to a good point is that their scale is getting a little more on point now.
So it's, instead of the hero scale stubbies, you get
come into a little bit more action hero-y, and that's I'm hoping to see. Like I saw one of the newer Drakari and I was like, oh, this is actually like almost D&D size now. Like I could actually maybe use this as bad guys, whereas my other ones, just with how they're with what they're scaling was,
they're just dwarves. They're just little stubby dwarves in armor.
Oh, the old Space Marines would have looked great for that.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't think about that, but what other games have you seen people use, like, the Lord of the Rings ones for? So,
the Warhammer Quest games, they would use in, like, for the miniatures, they would use, like, in for D&D or for their other, you know, tabletop adventure games.
Cool.
Instead of, like, getting Reaper or instead of getting the WizKid stuff, they'll use the Warhammer Quest stuff because, I mean, they have the same classes for the most part.
Yeah.
And some people like that aesthetic from Warhammer or
that
Warhammer
little, that slightly
Fantasy.
More grim, darky style of it.
Did you ever play any of those Warhammer quests?
We played Blackstone Fortress for a few rounds.
Yeah, okay. Which was really fun.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, I mean, it's still downstairs. You just have it. Or did you play it?
I think I finished the mission that you and I started. I finished alone.
Okay.
After you finished up.
Wow.
Sorry, guys.
That always sounded like a really fun game, just like when with like a campaign kind of adventure theme to it. Right?
And then for each expansion, there was, you know, an addition to it as well. So, I mean, it had many levels of replayability.
Yeah. That's where they started reintroducing the Kroot. Like, the Kroot had been not thought of in a really long time, and then they made a Kroot hero in Blackstone Fortress, and then they released for Kill Team, at least, a little, like, micro, here's how to play Kroot and Kill Team, which was super neat to me, using him as, a, like, commander.
All I'm thinking now is just, I am Kroot.
That's why I wanted to play an entire army of those guys.
We are Kroot.
Yeah, we are Kroot.
But yeah, even Blackstone Fortress and even the the other one, the city one.
Oh,
yeah. I'm blanking on that one.
I am too.
It was the newest one that they had. They're offering it again.
Something Silver City? Am I getting? No, maybe.
No, yeah, Silver Silver Tower?
No. It's going to bother me later.
Yeah, that's fair.
I actually just saw on, I think it was Board Game Arena last night. I think I saw Warhammer Quest Silver Tower.
Really?
I saw it somewhere. It was either there or on Tabletopia, one of the two.
That would be a crazy fun one to give a shot.
I don't remember if it was premium or not, and if it is, it might be worth the dollar just to pay to play that once even.
Yeah.
Like, for like paying a month's worth would be worth that, in my opinion, because Robert and I played one match. It took us, I think it took he and I about 2-ish hours that we played for.
Well,
and
I think we were building at the same time. So
yeah. But we got about an hour-ish of play in. I think by myself, it took me about another hour to wrap up. And that was one of like 40 missions I was probably going to have to go through if I wanted to beat the game.
That, honestly, like, that's approaching something like a Gloomhaven level style of adventure. Like,
yeah. I mean,
they're very Gloomhaven level.
That's like, cool.
Pre-Gloomhaven, yeah.
Nice.
I wonder if that's where Gloomhaven pulled a little bit of their stuff from.
No, it came out about the same time. So, I mean, was it like a legacy type?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, I mean, their Warhammer Quest board games have been around for a while, and that they all have that kind of long feel to them of kind of pushing it farther. Blackstone was just kind of the first one that really helped add that like full legacy mechanic into it.
Mm, right. It's in 40K universe, so that kind of helped out too.
Yeah. It's like, well, hey, we can go do a nice little fantasy version and they won't be mad.
But, I mean, speaking of fantasy, also, can't mention, you know, Games Workshop without saying anything about Blood Bowl.
I'm actually thinking about buying the video game for that.
And it's another thing about this particular franchise. There's, on top of their tabletop gaming, their Black Library, they have their, you know, other games, but also they have like their video games.
Extensive amount of video games.
A lot of, I'm playing Space Marine right now, so only now because they mentioned Space Marine 2 coming out soon. I was like, oh crap, I guess I gotta play the first one now.
Somehow I never realized that they have video games for it too.
Yeah, I mean, there's even mobile games too. It's crazy.
Yeah, I was looking at a couple of those last night. I actually almost downloaded them on my like Steam account to just I wanna, if I'm gonna play one, I wanna play it on my computer at least still, but I was like, oh man, I kind of want to do it just for a little while.
Right. Yeah. And like some of the games, whenever they have like Humble Bundles or even when they have, what is it?
Their deals with Game Pass.
Steam, yeah.
Like Game Pass even got Vermintide 2 and a couple of the other like smaller ones that came out.
And also too, I mean, when you have the mobile games, I mean, there's many avenues to get into Warhammer or any Games Workshop game without having to buy the plastic too, and just to get into the lore.
Yeah.
I mean, and plus too, there's all kinds of YouTube videos that you can just get into just learning about it.
Which is a fun point that you and I have talked about a little bit, but like they're weird like go after of people on YouTube for a while.
Right.
Squirt and I actually kind of finally found a few articles actually kind of talking about the fallout of it and kind of what ended up happening.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about that the other day.
Yeah, and it seems like most of the, as far as like lore and like battle report channels, they're pretty much like, we don't care.
Right.
They just started going really heavily after fan animations.
Which?
Because that's what they were going to do with Warhammer Plus was bring, they had gotten a few of the guys, like I'm really glad that they did go out and try first to hire most people for it.
Like the guy from Blood Angels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they, like some of the smaller guys that they didn't go after, they started, or that they didn't try to hire, they started going after to shut down their channels because they're like, we're going to go over here and make our own thing. And if you don't work with us, you can't make these. And like, you can't make animations of this anymore.
But like, fan animations exist for all properties everywhere at all times.
It's a thing they're starting to finally like learn the balance of. Like, it seems that they finally stopped kind of messing with people. People are essentially, they kind of just got it to, hey, please don't monetize off of our stuff, which kind of sucks because a lot of the guys that they hired were monetized videos.
Right.
That's like how they were helping sustain the rest of themselves. But it was nice to see that that got resolved.
Sort of. Yeah.
Relatively early, what could have been a really long and dragged out process, but on top of that, like, relatively civilly, like,
yeah,
it's still not a great mark on them. It's a new, you know, this year's black mark on them, but it's not the worst thing that we could have seen.
It could have been worse
from them. Yeah.
Right.
It could have been Anne Rice. So
yeah. Yeah. It could have been that bad. Mm. It could have been that bad. But we have a saying in my house. It's been four blocks. Kyle and I used to walk everywhere. We were talking about lore, and that's his thing. Is he's like, I don't care about buying the plastic. I just love the lore of these kids to it all. To the point I have to literally look at him and be like, buddy, you've been talking about Warhammer about this specific incident in Warhammer for four blocks now. That's about an hour, because we used to walk everywhere before I'd drive.
Right.
And I'd be like, I need you to at least change to a different topic in Warhammer.
Well, and they have all of the Black Library, all of the books, all of the lore, which is...
I did part of it to myself. I bought him one of the Humble Bundles like we had talked about.
Right.
Which is the thing that I think I could get most into for Warhammer is just the actual lore and the reading and the books.
Yeah. I've got one that you might dig. Let me swoop it from Kyle because I think he's already finished it. But the Malice Darkblade series is pretty dope. It's about a... Dark Eldar, I think, is what they were called at the time of the writing of that book. Mm. I don't think they had made the shift to Drakari because it's also in their fantasy style.
Yeah.
But he's a Dark Elf that just does Dark Elf things. Like, it's not a, like, workaround. Oh, he becomes the next, like, he's the Warhammer version of Dritz. Mm. Nope! Bonds with a demon, slaughters dozens of people, and just is overall just kind of a bad guy. But it's just fun to watch his terrible, terrible, like, reign across all of these people.
I kind
of
like that. It's just Overlord, but not.
It's Overlord if he didn't have that small speck of humanity left. Like, that one part of his brain that's like, man, I was human, and this really would have caused me to be sad. Oh, well.
You know, oh, well.
If that, oh,
kill
well,
everyone.
No, like, if that thought never happened anymore, and it was just, well, this doesn't do anything. I'm going to go right through it. Then... yeah, that's about it. Little overlordy, but without that last little drip of humanity to help make him not so shitty.
Like it.
Slightly related tangent. You were mentioning other ways to get into the Warhammer stuff, like without buying the plastic models and all the stuff.
Right.
Like, literally, like, 3 days ago, they announced and kind of gave the official, like, names of the Universes Beyond Magic the Gathering Commander deck sets that are going to come out with Warhammer themes.
Oh, no.
There's four different ones. They're doing Tyranids, Forces of the Imperium, Necron, and like the Ruinous Powers, whose commander is Abaddon.
Oh.
And then on top of
expected that.
Yeah, they've been talking about it for a little while, but they finally like came out and were like, here's what the packaging looks like, here's what a couple of the cards are.
Who they chose. Like,
yeah.
Those are kind of their highlighted boys this year.
And then the probably cash grabbiest bit of all of it is they're doing three secret layers.
Oh, gross.
I know. But it's one of them is 40K orcs with the theme that they'll each have. Oh. The second one is just Age of Sigmar. And then the third one is Blood Bowl.
Oh, no.
Oh, I would kind of want the Blood Bowl ones just because the art for that's got to be amazing.
And I promise it's not sponsored. We're on the subject and, you know, we always happen to circle back around to Magic somehow.
It all comes back to Magic.
I'm excited to see who does the art for those cards.
I mean, the preview pieces that they put up so far look really good.
Like, just the... because both of them have really good in-house artists all of that kind of stuff. So I'm wondering if they're going to, like, split the payload, if they're, or, like, the workload, or if they're going to, like,
yeah,
just have one person.
They literally have a blood for the blood god card that they bring.
No,
that
no.
one at least very is, much looks
is
magic.
It very corny?
Yeah, it's red and black. Yeah, skulls through the skull throne. It's very corny.
I
did actually pick up on that it passed it.
I want a blood for the blood god card just to have it. I will frame that and put it on my wall.
I need to buy a new bottle of blood for the blood god because I got a couple models that I just want to slather in it.
It's the best stuff.
Yeah.
Love that paint.
The flavor text is Skulls for the Skull Throne.
Nice.
So, anyways.
Well, I mean, that's the
second part of the line.
That's what you have to do, man.
Now I really just want to like make a BBEG for our Witcher campaign and just make a base that's like...
All skulls?
Like a 200 millimeter base plus or so.
And buy the pack of
just,
skulls?
Yeah, and then just like buy three or four of them and just make a true like skull throne for the BBEG to sit
on. I won't be able to play that because we'll go in and I'll just start screaming, blood for the blood god, skulls for the skull throne, the whole time.
You know what? That might save you guys. Who knows? I might. That's the other thing is that they make their lore so easy to also, like, if I want to extrude part of it to my Witcher game, if I want to start bringing in, like, they don't have a lot of, like, especially Witcher, they don't have a whole lot of demons and stuff on that, so it really does leave a very like open door for me to be like, you know what, I really want to start bringing like demons and chaos,
just portal in,
just bring it in right from Warhammer, especially with how Witcher's magic works. It's based off of chaos. That's you could do some real fun things of like kind of bleeding the two of them together just to add an extra kind of pantheon.
You absolutely could.
To your group. And that would... Oh, I didn't think about that. Getting, like, using charm manipulation magic and stuff. And that leads to the, like, bleeding of Slaanesh corrupting you. Depending on what kind of magics you use. Depends on which Chaos God comes in and starts messing with you.
No,
oh, that'd be actually really neat.
I mean, that's how they start the corruption, right? I mean...
Yeah, that's why I was like, oh, that'd actually be... That's a really, like, I know they've done it, but that would be really cool to see in the just Witcher universe and see that fresh start again. Now I want to go back and read it, like, the start of that, of, like, let me see how the corruption happened.
Do it. I need you to picture me like Emperor Palpatine. Do it.
But they just had an event last weekend in Seattle, Warhammer Open. They had tournaments and whatnot. I was like on the fence. Should I go? They have all the paint workshops.
Mm.
All the
paint workshops.
I want to go to the paint workshops.
Their paint and take are like next level. You pay $100, you get like, and you keep everything.
I want to go.
Yeah.
Robert, next year, man.
Maybe, but I mean, like if all of us go, who's left?
Nobody, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, we'll be fine.
We'll be fine.
The four of us will all go. It'll be fine.
The store has enough people now. We have a big enough staff. We'll be fine.
I think the last count I heard is 36 people that work here now.
Right.
So
it's like, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So we'll the four fine. Of us just dip it out
be,
for a weekend would be
it
fine.
It will be for the podcast.
See, we can make it a business
we'll
trip.
Make it an away trip for the podcast.
So we can report back, have maybe at least three episodes worth.
Yeah. We'll take some like on site video and stuff. We'll do a few Facebook Live. So it'll
See,
be fine.
Write it off as a business trip.
Business trip.
As long as you vlog at least 6 hours of every day you're on vacation, you can consider business.
That's a lot of vlogging.
We have our resident. Really we have our resident Games Workshop guy. Right. He has to come. Robert has to come. George is our games buyer. George has to come. George has to be there. Drew is the host for Game Cabinet, so Drew has to be here, and I run the board and do all the editing, so I also have to be there. Oh, it's
painting
required.
Part. Paint, right?
Paint.
Yeah.
It's a required 4-person trip. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah. Speaking of paint, one of my few favorite things about Warhammer in general is painting themes. The crazy themes that people go off with to paint, where like some people are a little more like me and will kind of walk away from your traditional paint jobs, salamanders, black templar, so on and so forth. I love when people do like unique teams where they'll do like, oh, I'm going to make an orc team, but they're all going to be construction workers.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, I'm going to make, like I was working on, and still should probably finish, my Chaos Space Marines. But I was painting them black and yellow for the Wu-Tang.
Yeah.
And they were going to be Slaanesh followers.
Right.
And things like that. I really appreciate like the weird themes that people go out of their way to do, like Christmas orcs and stuff like that, because they released their Christmas goblin this year or last year.
Yeah. No, I mean, same thing like me. When I played the campaign using my Miku Marines in the theme of...
That's
I
one of my favorite Miku jobs I've ever seen, too.
They
that's
were amazing. So pretty.
I loved it so much. That's what inspired me, though, to bother like trying to do a Wu-Tang one where I was like, oh, there's so many things that I could be doing with this.
But yeah, no.
You should make some tiny little Wu-Tang stencils so you can just stencil little Wu-Tang symbols on all of your Marines.
I won't lie, I have to buy a new box of Chaos Space Marines because I totally did it backwards. I should have primed them yellow and then painted on the black, but I was like, oh, but like I'm only going to put their trim in yellow, so I'm just going to paint them all black and then I'll put yellow on top of it.
Yeah, that's hard.
Smart move.
No, you got to do like...
Learn the lesson about painting, though!
Then you've got to do like white and then white... And then white, and then yellow.
Or four layers of yellow. It also seemed to work. Well, I was also hoping, I was using the Averlin Sunset, so because it is a little darker of a yellow, I was hoping that maybe
it'd make up for it.
No, nice, is the answer.
A nice warm gray under it will also help a lot.
Yeah, and I think that this time I'm just going to be smart and go through and... hit them with
light to dark.
Well, I have a Everland Sunset spray because I was also going to spray I was going to do a half and half spray on all my cultists where I was going to go get some fingernail tape for like painting your nails and stuff, and I was going to put bands around it and then paint them yellow and black in bands so that they would be killabees.
Oh my god.
Yeah,
get out.
It also I loved playing that group because if I wanted to win a game of Kill Team, like try to win the game, I played my Drakari. I'm going to bring my big ass Dark Lance with me and shoot 1d6 worth of damage at 20 plus inches the whole game.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just going to do that and put that over there.
Plus what, 8 attack melee?
Yeah, while rushing all of my wishes forward. Or if I want to have fun, I'd play my Chaos Space Marines and literally put my cultists in the front and have them all march forward like killabees in the front. Gotta march. And I'm like, yep, all right, perfect. And in Kill Team, they count as cover. That's the part I love the most. Nope, killabees out front. You're my mobile cover now. You were meant to die. But I like that you can get that kind of theme in with it and like kind of build your own personality around your own unit.
Yeah, you don't have to paint them all exactly like they come out of the box.
Yeah.
It's not required.
Though I do want to go play at a Games Workshop shop once, just because I know that there's at least going to be a few of those guys there, and I want to bring in my hot pink bases,
yeah,
just to get that look from them all the time, because it's one of my favorite things of when you get one of those guys to look at them and be like, it's breast cancer awareness pink. Do we have a problem? And that look of, oh no, on their face every time. It's one of my favorite expressions to get out of them.
I have so many bottles of that pink.
I think I have like 3 or 4 myself.
Do they still send those out?
Every year.
I don't know if they're still sending the breast cancer pink. I think they've changed to a red now for a lot of them. But like for a while there, they were every single time Reaper would send you a like bonus paint for anything, it would be that.
Yeah, they've switched over to it, but I still saw some come in on a shipment October's Breast Cancer Awareness Month?
Yeah, I think they always send it out in October.
Yeah.
But before that, they were literally almost every single shipment that I got in, they would just throw in a bottle. Like, it wouldn't even be a free, like, there wasn't anything on the thing that was a freebie. They would just throw in a bottle of it. They're like, here, take this pink.
We just have so much.
It's like, okay.
But I really like using that in that super grim dark universe, and then getting that, what's with the pink, man? It's breast cancer awareness pink. All right, I will leave you alone then. Like, thanks.
I think you should do a black and pink whole army.
A whole black and pink army.
Yeah, like it's just all black and gritty, but then like all of the highlights are pink.
That'd be really fun. Like all the gold trim instead of being gold is just that bright pink.
Yeah.
See, but I'd have to find a way to like mix it with a silver and get that little bit of metallic out of it, because that's what I'd want.
Easy. You go to the craft store.
I don't want
to
buy mica powder.
We have
no.
Molto chrome
downstairs. It's not mica powder.
Oh, yeah.
In the stamp sections of like scrapbooking stuff, they have a spray that is an iridescent liquid medium that you mix in with stamp ink to make it sparkly.
Oh.
That's weird.
It's beautiful.
Have you shaded with that before?
I have. I've put it in so much paint.
You're like, I just put it in all the paint.
I make so many things sparkly with that because it doesn't have a
color. Is that how you got snowflakes sparkly?
Yes.
I'll explain why I have yet to ever find anything so shiny. I have been trying to figure out how you
got it. It's an iridescent paint medium, basically, that is just pre-liquefied. I don't know if it's mica powder specifically, but it's hyper, hyper fine iridescent medium.
Okay.
And you mix it. It doesn't have a color of its own.
So you just mix it with whatever you want.
Mix it with whatever you want, and it makes it shiny as shit.
Breast cancer awareness metallics. Let's do it. Now I really want to. Well, let's see. We've gone over paint. We've gone over miniatures. We've gone over games. We've gone over lore. What else do they have out there?
Well, you even mentioned like their videos.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Their whole new Warhammer Plus thing that they've recently unleashed onto the world.
Yeah.
Where is that? Is that just on their site or is it on YouTube?
It's an app.
Yeah.
It's an app, and then it's their website. Warhammer Plus, they have all their exclusive videos. They even re-released like a lot of old White Dwarf magazines through
I think they said that they released everything that they have archived, like everything that they could find that they themselves still had is up there to just read with your subscription. Nice. Which is kind of cool.
I
will say that like GW has some of the best like painting tutorial videos that I've found.
And that's on there too.
Nice. Like I've seen a lot of really good YouTube ones that are just like normal people being like, let's paint stuff. But I love GW's painting tutorials.
I don't know what's going on with him, so do your own research. Yeah.
Yeah. But he's not with GW anymore.
He did leave them.
He did leave.
Okay. I was like, he's making his own paint, so I don't think he's with them anymore. But apparently his paints are pretty dope and better than contrast paints, which is what they're supposed to be.
Is this the Too Thin Coach guy?
Yeah.
Too Thin Coach.
Cool.
Yeah, a bunch of people I've been watching online are like, I'm calling them Duncan Paints now because I don't want to say Too Thin Coats every time.
That's fair.
A couple of them were doing reviews and they're like, okay, and that's the 12th time I've said Too Thin Coats. We're calling them Duncan Paints now. Which I think would have been a perfectly fine name for them. People would have been like, oh, that guy, cool. Yeah, I'll buy his paint.
But I mean, you can only be the face of a property for so long until you kind of get sick of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand where he's coming from too.
Yeah, where it's just, I'm ready to do my own thing.
Yeah.
Like, move on from you Warhammerins.
But I find it kind of funny. So before it was just him. It was just him. And then when he left, there's like four different people now. I was like, weird.
Yeah. There's nothing better than leaving your previous job and watching them hire like 2+ people to cover the
I think so too, because they opened up like their media before. They even have like a Twitch channel now, that official, you know, Games Workshop channel.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Which I hear they're doing battle reports on.
Yeah, battle reports, painting, unveilings too.
Oh, I didn't know they were going to do some unveilings on that. That's a really good way to use that is, hey, you couldn't make it out to this expo or whatever where we're going to release this. Well, you can at least catch us on Twitch. That's a really good way to go about that. And then, like you were saying, their animations that are, like, especially the ones that they managed to get from their community.
Right.
I saw some of the animation to some of the ones they've made themselves. And it's got room for improvement.
Yeah. Because they have so many different animators for different properties within their, you know, it's not consistent. So it has different vibes to them.
Yeah.
So I think that's why click with.
As stuff that they're making, it should vibe a little bit better. But at the same time, like, they need to grow on that. But their community stuff that they manage to, like, hey, we're hiring you to now be part of the team and do this with us, is aces. Like, it's guys who were making this stuff in their basement by themselves and taking just, I think one of the guys said he took 6+ months on one of his, like, 10-minute long videos.
Yeah, the Black Templar one?
Equinox? Is that what it's called? I don't remember either. I was looking at it last night.
There's just so many, I can't keep track of them all.
Go, I think that you can get onto their app on the website for free, and I think that at least their fan-made stuff was still open and available for people to go watch for free and stuff like that. Like, they didn't suddenly put it behind their paywall of their app, but you should go check out that stuff if you really like Warhammer. Yeah, there.
I mean, I subscribe to it because, you know, I'm simping for them a lot. but, I mean, they also have, like, you get a free model if you stay subscribed for however long.
So some bonuses.
Yeah, there's some bonuses to it. So it's like, okay, you get a free model. You get like a $10 credit or something for their store. And...
Okay, that's actually, that's not the worst. We were just looking at like what they had on their app and not necessarily content, all their bonuses. Okay, that's not too, that makes it a little bit worth the price point Squirt and I were talking about last night.
I wonder if they're going to ever end up releasing like a Warhammer show. Now that they have an animation department.
It wouldn't surprise me. So the only thing that I think would take a while for them to kind of get onto that, one, they'd have to decide what arc, like what time period they want to work in and what arc they want to work on. And at least three of their ace animators were independents. I don't know how well those guys are going to work together.
Fair.
As people who are used to leading and doing their own projects, and now they're going to be, they'd have to be focused with a team on a team project. So I don't necessarily know how that would go. But what I do appreciate from their app is something that I think at least half the table's been asking for from another website. If you buy a codex for Warhammer, it's got a little QR code on it that you can scan.
Nice.
And it goes to your app.
Yeah.
What a concept.
Get on it, Wizards.
That's pretty cool.
D&D Beyond is not associated with Wizards of the Wizards of the Coast.
It is now.
Oh, did they finally bought?
They just bought them.
Yeah, they.
Oh, nice. Oh,
well, about time.
Sorry if you couldn't hear us pushing up our glasses.
Squirt and I were looking at it last night, and he didn't. I wasn't looking at D&D Beyond.
Yeah, D&D Beyond got bought, I think, like 2-3 weeks ago.
Yeah,
the final merger of it. Yeah.
I definitely haven't been paying attention.
Yeah.
D&D is it's over there right now.
Yeah.
No.
my main focus has been The Witcher and finding my Warhammer model so that I can get back into playing some Kill Team.
So I guess any final thought on Warhammer in general, Games Workshop in general?
Ooh. I love them and hate them like the rest of their crowd.
Yeah. I mean, there are so many aspects to Games Workshop and all their models that I really like. Some I want to have stay the same. Some it's great that they change, but I want them to be a little bit more flexible, especially for their gameplay stuff. But I mean, you can't ask for everything.
Yeah.
I would like them to figure out a system in which they will sell the rights to certain models. Like, not necessarily the rights, but like when you buy a Hero Forge character, how you can get your
custom
custom models file.
So you can print it yourself.
I would appreciate it if they were to try to figure out a way to do that, even if they did it at an exorbitant price for the models.
I see.
Like let you buy a download file instead of a miniature.
Yeah, so that you could print your own, but primarily because they don't make a lot of models that are, like, they don't make a lot of units that are in their game at this point, or the model that they do make is
a lot of them are like
20, 30 years old and now off of scale even. Yeah. Like, you know, you get this tank that a space marine is now towering over and you're like, oh,
that would
that's really
that
weird.
Would actually be really cool if they sold downloadable files to 3D print old miniatures that they're not making anymore.
Even if you were like, hey, you know what? We're going to essentially charge you for 4 or 5 of these for the file alone. But at least at that point, I can print as many as I want.
A file for the full army box set, and you just get all the files in the box set, but you pay the same as you would to buy the set.
Yeah, it's something like that. Just something to let those older models come back at a more like reasonable rate without having to, you know, my Tyranids got their update for the first time in 6 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy how some of the old Games Workshop plastic sell for in the third party market.
Yeah, and it's at this point, it's because, you know, they're just becoming rare and exclusive, and it's like, hey, it'd be nice if we could get these kind of reprinting again.
I've seen some stuff got reprinted or have a new update plastic in the last couple of months, and like some units that have not had a new model for years and years, and they made a new one, and it's like, oh, okay, great, they did that. But now, I don't know, it's almost like anything that has an old model versus the new model, and now they have new rules for it, they can finally play it again. Yeah. I mean, that's great. I like it when that happens. And also, too, when that happens, like the model that's on eBay for the old model now just drops in price. I just find it funny.
Yeah, and that's why I'd like to see that, because there are some dudes who have gone out, printed their armies, and then I think it was last year some dude won a big tournament with it, and now they've banned 3D printed models from bigger tournaments. So it's like, okay, well, he was playing with models you guys haven't printed in quite some time, but you still have the rules for in the book. He wants to play these units. Don't put it in the book before I'm not allowed to play it. And then print the model to things you put in the book. And because if you're not going to do that, then why shouldn't I be allowed to print my model and go for it? Like, that's my last, like,
yeah, I'm sure for
everyone.
I'm sure they're, especially like, how is it fair to the person that actually has the model versus the person who didn't have the model?
See, and that's where I'm like, they need to figure out a happy medium for that of like, hey, we'll sell you the file so that you are at least paying us for the file, like paying us some money.
And especially when, I can understand if it's a Games Workshop Warhammer Open, where it's a Games Workshop sponsored.
I think it was one of the first rounds of the openings.
I mean, I can understand why they can ban it, but if it's, say, like it's Gamma or if it's another gaming convention.
Most player bases don't care. But like, I think as GW and how to like play tournament wise, you're limiting what people can play in those tournaments by what you're printing.
Right.
And but so you're making a meta team though.
Yeah. But you can also have the argument is like, oh, okay, I can play in this tournament for Magic, but it has to be, the current four sets back.
Oh, see, it's like the last year and a half, usually, somewhere in that range.
Yeah, that's about four sets.
Yeah, they keep changing it up on how they want to
do standard. Same thing, how they want to protect, their tournaments by doing that type of rule. Same thing for GW. I'm sure they will say, you only can do GW only.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But like I said, it'd just be nice to see a little something where they help promote some of their older models as well, so that they could see the light of day and get some play again.
Yeah.
I think that's going to wrap us up for this episode.
I did want to drop in because this episode's going to air the weekend right before Adventures Underground has their anniversary celebration / Mushroom Fest that's going on the first week of June.
I'm so confused by why we chose mushrooms, but okay. I love mushrooms. Don't get me wrong. Portobellos are great, but to make a fest about it, it's not like they grow here. It's not like when I lived in California, it was like
they do. Yeah. We've got mushroom growers coming to the Mushroom Fest to sell mushrooms.
Yeah. I mean,
but not those kinds of mushrooms, like the kind that you eat, not the kind that you.
That's the other reason why I'm curious why we chose mushrooms. It's just going to be a little confusing for some people.
Alice in Wonderland. Caterpillar sits on a
toadstool.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Okay. Fair
enough. I think that was the main thing behind it, was just that.
All right.
But it's going to be a week of just chaos and fun.
Are they bringing mushroom ice cream?
I don't know. Maybe.
It's a thing in Willits. If you ever have a chance to be in Willits, California.
You should like go talk to Beth and be like, hey, we should find a mushroom ice cream vendor.
Yes. I don't know who makes that ice cream.
I don't know either.
I know where to get it. I don't know who makes it, though.
But if you're in the Tri-Cities area, first week of June, you should absolutely stop by Adventures Underground and see all of the vendors and the food and the live music.
We're going to do some paint and takes.
We're going to have some paint and takes going on.
Hosted by
me. What?
Wow, what?
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 Crazy talk. Who does that?
And then I'll be there to annoy the crap out of everybody else.
I'll be outside selling Ichiban Kujis and Asian food.
You'll definitely have to stop by and see Robert, because that sounds great.
Yeah, I want the ticket thing.
Yeah.
I want to at least do one of those. That seems...
There's a Kirby one now.
There's a Kirby one?
There's a Kirby one.
I'm not a big Kirby guy, but I've recently gotten more into the idea of Kirby because of one of the guys Kyle watches was like, yeah, you look at it and you go, this is kind of a kid's game. And then it stops being a kid's game.
And
I was like, oh.
AU Radio might be doing a few sporadic Facebook Lives throughout the event to just kind of talk about what's going on. And, you know, you'll get to see some of our beautiful faces, whoever wants to be on it. It'll be fun. Anyway, I just wanted to pitch that out there because I realized that this episode's going to drop literally the Friday before that. So
it's a perfect shout out.
Yeah. Then come on out and hang out and we'll try to, we should think about what events are coming up more often.
I'm trying. It's hard.
I'm not putting that on you. That's
it's hard because
too.
We record about 2 weeks in advance. So a lot of times I'm like, oh yeah, that event. I should have talked about that. Damn it. That was it. Mushroom Fest. Come see us.
But all right, we'll tuck away our minis, our dice, and our rulers and tape measures, and shut our door, and say thanks to Robert for coming by and hanging out and chatting with us about GW and Warhammer today.
Yeah, no, I don't mind. It's okay.
We'll catch you guys next time.
You've been listening to The Game Cabinet at the AU Radio Podcast Network. If you're interested in any of the titles from today's episode, you can check out the link tree in the description to visit Adventures Underground at their online store to browse the selections or inquire about special orders. If you'd like to contact the show, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just check out that link tree in the description. Or you can email the show at podcast@advunderground.com. You can also support this show and all the awesome shows on AU Radio that you love by becoming a patron of the AU Radio Podcast Network. You can find us at patreon.com/ADV Underground. For as little as $1 a month, you can help us continue to create these shows, and soon, many more.
You've been listening to the AU Radio Podcast Network. Music is provided by CubbyPurplePlanet.com and BenSound.com. Views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Adventures Underground. AU Radio is a production of Adventures Underground, copyright 2018, all rights reserved.